Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail.
It's the final word daily for Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. Adam Collins with you. I'm in Margate, which is down on the water in Kent. Camp Ponsonby, though, is where you want to be. At Vizag, day one of this test match between India and England. Sum it up in 30 seconds, please.
Jaiswal dominates England, but England maybe, possibly, slightly edged the day. The score finished at 336 for six after 93 overs, where India would have wanted to leave England in the dust, way behind, unable to have a route back into this match, a route back into victory. But as it happened, 2 wickets late in the day for England means it's kind of even Stevens. I'm very intrigued to see what kind of those watching this think in terms of who's ahead, who's not ahead. But if we're going to focus on one player today, it will be Jaiswal. 179 not out from 257, a superb innings, having batted throughout the day.
Yeah, he was brilliant. They closed at 336 for six. India haven't lost a test match when making more than 350 in the first innings of it at home since 1998. So I think that that's a busy one for you, a quick biz one to get you going. So I feel like they are ahead in the test match, but equally, 6 wickets on day one. Had England been told they were going to be bowling first on a track, which is pretty good for batting so far, they probably would have taken six. It should really be four down, two comparatively soft dismissals late in the day. Akshar Patel chopping down on one and bouncing a bit more from the debutant Shoaib, and that was a nice piece of bowling in the sense that it bounced more than Akshar thought. And the one very late in the day, KS Bharat, the hometown boy, hitting a half tracker straight to backward point as well for 17. So Jaiswal 179, not brilliant. We'll get into him in a moment. The fact that no Indian player beyond him made it past 34. There were six players dismissed between 14 and 34. I'm sure that's where most of the scrutiny is going to lie. We saw last week at Hyderabad, India made it to 420 for seven by stumps on day two. And the instinct was they left left runs out there on the basis that they had so many players get very tidy starts. Wasn't quite to that extent today, but England, I don't think they took wickets through creating pressure or anything quite like that. There were only seven maidens bowled in the day, and three of them were from the veteran Anderson, who we'll also speak about in some depth, I'm sure. So they were continually ticking the board over, and Jaiswal's an outstanding player. It was more against the flow of play. Indian batters fell both in the second and third sessions.
Yeah, and those Akshar and Bharat dismissals just made you want to jump off a fucking cliff. Half trackers that have been chipped to point. It was an absolute disaster, especially because it's the same old story for India, or same old story of one test match. This was such a big toss to win. And if you can get 550, if you can bat well into tomorrow, your runs are then worth exponentially more, because the whole point of this wicket is that it's going to be flat for 2 days and then it's going to crumble away. Winning this toss was so crucial to India, and they haven't quite made the most of it. And given the ease at which Jaiswal has scored his runs and given the manner of dismissals, it's the same as Hyderabad, where in Hyderabad we thought India might get away with it. They've got enough runs. They're far enough ahead in the game. But if we learn, if they learn anything, it's that this England team do kind of weird little miracles from time to time, and you need to make the most of your opportunities. Yep. Shubman Gill will be absolutely spewing to have managed to nick off to Anderson wide out off outside off stump. Yes, it was a good ball. Yes, these things happen. But for a player under pressure to have this opportunity to get this start on this wicket, it's kind of it was synonymous with the rest of the batting lineup, where outside of Jaiswal, it was a tale of, it was opportunities missed. There wasn't really anyone that was really ripped out. Like Shreyas Iyer got an unfortunate ball that kept low. Pattadar, unlucky, kind of defended the ball into the ground. It rolled back onto his stumps. He missed it. He could have kicked it away, but he missed it. Having a live audience, just wanted to interact with the fans, interact with the crowd.
That's okay. That's fine.
But eventually, I think Jaiswal was actually weirdly kind of closer to the mean of where this pitch, where this wicket, where this day should have been for India, is that it should have been big runs and England kind of facing the dirt, no way back into the Test match, and that's not what happened.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's exactly it, that Jaiswal batting as well as he did. He has one player really go with him. The partnerships are 40, 49, 90, 70, 52 and 29, right? Like, if any of those mature to what they should be, then England, I'm not going to say they're out of the game. I made that mistake after Hyderabad on day two. They're never really out of the game, but it's a very different story if we're looking at a card that's, you know, sort of 340 for four, which it might have been had Akshar batted all the way through. So in terms of the way India batted, their false stroke percentage today was 10%, which is the best at home for 5 years, another one from Crickviz. So it sort of reinforces that they did control the tempo of the game. And it was the players getting out after the starts you've referred to before. In a way, that's the biggest sin for an Indian batter. I know they cop so much grief when they get in, then get out, but so it is for, you know, for Rohit, who was caught round the corner for 14, giving Shoaib Bashir his first test wicket, a pretty handy one too. And around the corner, which is becoming a specialised position in Test cricket, that leg slip, we see how important it is for Nathan Lyon. And now England have got an off-spinner. I don't know how much he'll play with Jack Leach as the first choice in England, but still someone for the future, having someone around the corner there, taking a catch right away. The Anderson-Gill setup, he'll be thrilled with that. Jimmy Anderson, Test wicket, 691, but the way he worked around that third and fourth stump line, pushing it a bit wider, the tempter caught behind. You could see Ben Folkes moving to his right in front of first slips. He was celebrating before he even caught it. Such was the joy at finding the outside edge. Shreyas Iyer, Ben Folkes, another catch there for the Surrey gloveman. Shreyas going back to cut a ball next to his off stump that doesn't get up. That's a little bit of a story of the pitch, although principally flat. You heard from Jaiswal after play today saying that it was quite wet, using his word, early on. It was damp, sorry, was the word he used, until about lunch. And after lunch, things flattened out and there was more bounce. So I think your point about first innings runs being even bigger here than they were last week will play out to be true. I wonder where Johnny Bairstow's gloves would have been had he been keeping instead of Ben Folkes. That was excellent keeping, staying as low as possible for as long as possible. Then Paditar, you know, he looked good. For his start, he reaches 32 from 72. Bharat Sundaresan, our colleague, compared him to Salim Malik with the wrists he was seeing early on.
Wow.
But then deflects the wrong one from Rayan Ahmed onto his stumps. Not the first time that he nearly fell to the wrong one of Rayan when he was belatedly introduced in the 60th over and the two dismissals late in the day. So there's a bit of a theme there. So you go through it, taken as a whole, India are now not relying on Jaiswal to reach credibility. They've already done that, but making the most of the situation they now find themselves in.
Yeah, and when I say kind of the idea of ruling England out of winning the match, I think that was the point. Of the four possible results, India couldn't win the match today. They couldn't guarantee a draw, but they could guarantee that England don't have a route to victory, as it were. You can force them outside of the game. And Jaiswal,
yeah.
I mean, I really just like watching him bat. He's the type of player which makes me wonder why I'm so bad, or why can't we all do this? It's a technique of kind of great simplicity, and then as soon as anyone gets remotely full, he just absolutely belts it. There was a brilliant kind of 6-7 ball sequence which took him from 73 to 90. It was actually the only chance he kind of, half chance he gave up throughout the game. He slashed that ball from Tom Hartley, I think, and it just evaded the kind of diving Joe Root at slip. And then Hartley bowled two more balls kind of full of length, and then Rayan Ahmed did in the following over, and he just throws his hands at it. It's so hard. I'd be fascinated to know how heavy his bat is, which is incredibly boring thing to be interested in. But I think he just kind of, he just lifts his hands up, then he just drops this kind of sledgehammer on the ball and it flies away. And we saw this happen when he went from 94 to 100. They'd left kind of Ben Duckett kind of in deepish mid on, just teasing him, going like, go on, have a go. Do you really want to do it? And he was like, yeah, that sounds great, actually. Brilliant celebrations. It was a day of great celebrations. I was asking around the kind of press box. I was like, is there any story to these celebrations? He kind of had like the bird arms going out and like helmet and bat on the floor. And as of now, I haven't had an answer. If anyone in the comments knows if there was any kind of story behind the celebrations, please do let me know, because I absolutely love them. And yeah, I think if you're him, you're going back into the dressing room and you're feeling very smug because no one else has managed to score as many runs as you. But you're also going, guys, like, someone stick with me. Someone get to 60, 70 or 80. Because England take the new ball tomorrow. Say Jimmy Anderson nips out one, just gets Ashwin, or Jaiswal sticks one up in the air. All of a sudden, the score's 350 for seven. And unless the tail wags, you're looking at less than 400. Like, it's not inconceivable India end up posting fewer than 400 here. And that feels criminal, to be honest. That feels absolutely criminal. I think we are, to use the oldest cliche in the book, crucial next session coming up.
Crucial first hour on day two, is that what you're saying?
It's always a crucial first hour.
Yeah, Jaiswal, test, especially on day two. Like, Jaiswal is meant to be hard when you arrive at this standard, right? And he's done so last year, made 171 on test debut in the Caribbean, and of course made brisk runs last week at Hyderabad, 179 not today. I mean, there's the cliches about left-handers looking elegant through the offside. He has all of those, inside out, glorious, looks like Brian Lara, right? But has the IPL thing going on as well. Five sixes, most of them in the V, hitting long, trusting his swing, a six to bring up his century. I was surprised to read that Sachin Tendulkar brought up three figures in test cricket six times with a six. I would have had other players doing it more often than Sachin, but I suppose there's a big sample size of 5100s there to get them in that way, but still. And he has he has all the strokes, but he's also got this incredibly balanced defence. So when you get the majority of cricketers who are making the step up to test level and take a time before they finally click, and that might be what we're seeing with Shubman Gill right now, who also started his test career in fine fettle a few years ago in Australia. Jaiswal just looks like he's not burdened by anything. The celebration might be reflective of that. He clearly planned his celebration for the century, right? Well, you know, and this is not something that you would encourage someone to do. It might be tempting fate, but he knew it was going to be an instantly iconic, memorable celebration, effectively taking a bow to the crowd after dropping his bat, his gloves and his helmet. So he's clearly not short on confidence either. And you see a guy like this as early as you see him in his career doing this, and you can always lock him on for 10,000 test runs, right? Like, yeah. That might sound like a bit of an exaggeration, but all things being equal, if you're that good this young, what's getting in his way? I don't know.
Well, yeah, he's 5% of the way already there. And when you think of, he's got two test hundreds, and when he reaches 100, his current lowest score is 171, which is quite good. And for those who don't know, I know, can I just say a quick interlude? Your statistics have been absolutely phenomenal today. I've enjoyed all three of them immensely.
Happy with that.
Sachin Tendulkar one, excellent. And for those who don't know the story of Jaiswal, it is remarkable. He moved to Mumbai when he was very young, and he was living in a tent in the kind of one of the maidans, and he was selling pani puri, which is a kind of roadside kind of traditional Indian snack. And then he was taken in by kind of his mentor. It genuinely, if you don't aren't aware of his story, I think for listeners, people will either be going like, "I'll change the tune, we've heard this before," or if you haven't heard it, I recommend you go up and read up on him. It's absolutely fascinating. But because of how attacking he is, England were a little bit more pragmatic in their approach today. I found their tactics very interesting. They had fielders out for a lot more than I've seen them kind of in their last three test tours, with Jaiswal in particular, or more to the point when Axar Patel was batting with Jaiswal, and when it was getting to the end of an over, they were spreading the field to allow Axar to get back on strike and take a single. Sherb Bashir, who I'm sure we'll talk much more on, was regularly bowling with three sweepers out. It felt more conventional captaincy at times from Ben Stokes, and that's not necessarily a criticism at all. I found it interesting that England was slightly bending the knee and aware that this was a day that to survive, to keep them in the fight for tomorrow. During the Pakistan series, when the flat wickets were being rolled out, they kept on using this phrase, and I couldn't find the exact quote about like enjoying the challenge and kind of enjoying the misery of a day in the field, and kind of like, God, like, we're really gonna have to hunker in together here, lads, and get through this. And as a result, when they took their wickets. The celebrations were brilliant. The celebrations for Shoaib Bashir's first wicket, it was like the happiest I've seen a group of like grown men. It was like genuine joy, and I mean that in as twee and as cringeworthy a way as possible. Like, Bashir was so relieved, had such an outpouring of emotion. Ollie Pope and Ben Folks were hugging. You had people running into Bashir, arms out, wanting to give him a hug because they understood kind of what a moment this was for him. And Rehan Ahmed was last in. He'd been fielding out on the boundary and he had the aeroplane arms coming out. And I think, I know I'm going on a little bit here, but I've just been thinking of having this kind of theory about this Bazball, this mantra that Stokes and McCullum are building. The kind of phrase I've got in my head now is that it's making the adult profession the childhood dream it's meant to have been. And I feel like selections like Rehan Ahmed, Shoaib Bashir, Tom Hartley, all these fast-tracked picks can really help and buy into that and kind of advance it. Because for the likes of the people who have played this every week, every month, are their regular England players, if you get people who are in effect... competition winners is too mean a phrase, but people who didn't have international cricket on their radar, and you launch them into the team and they're wide-eyed and they're amazed and they're so excited to be there because they never dreamed they'd play for England in Test cricket, it then reinforces to the group just how lucky and just how amazing a thing it is. And you see that in the celebrations. You can really see that in the group. Today was I'm sounding like a massive England shill, but this was a day I kind of really, I found myself getting quite endearing myself, or the England team were endearing themselves to me, where I was going, this looks like a group who are loving the challenge of being out here, are really enjoying each other's company and supporting the likes of Shoaib Bashir in this insane, immense challenge of coming out to India and trying to win a 5-match series.
I remember last year when Cummins was leading the Australian side in India, it was about embracing the chaos. That was their mantra. It sounds like with Stokes, it's more like my yoga instructor when you're getting into a real difficult pose and she says, you know, breathe into the discomfort.
Wow.
Embrace the discomfort. It's like the same thing going on here with the England team where they're being told to try and smile through it and breathe through it and embrace it and be mindful of the situation they're in. Wow. All the other bits and bobs you might hear in a class like that. But the broader point stands, I think, about the enjoyment here and the enjoyment they're taking in someone like Shoaib Bashir. Just on the skill side of things with him, we touched on it a little bit last week with Tom Hartley, the talent ID piece. And I know he got plucked from Twitter. I get that, right? But a tall bloke who bowls finger spin, who gets over the top of his front leg, right? Not bowling sidearm like you and me, over the top of his front leg with his off breaks, and he's got massive mitts.
Yep.
It's a pretty bloody good combination. He might be 20, might have taken his first class wickets at 67 before today, but there is something to be said for looking at the all-round package that he offers, even at this age, and saying, well, if he can get it right in these conditions, and over the top off spinner in India with extra bounce, that's how he... I know you were critical earlier of the dismissal of Akshar Patel, and fair enough too, but that was nowhere near as bad a shot as KS Bharat's, because it was the bounce he couldn't have possibly anticipated that I think Shoaib's going to generate throughout the course of his career, especially as Jaiswal described when the pitch hardened up today and there was more bounce on offer for him. So he didn't bowl any maidens. There was no real pressure going on here. I think India batted against him really well, against what at times was high quality bowling from the very first over. It bowled a half tracker to start, but improved from there. But yeah, one to watch. He'll only improve. And the fact that he's got two wickets on his first day in Test cricket is a huge plus and a huge confidence booster for him. Tom Hartley wasn't as good this week as he was last week, but how can you can be after taking 7 for 62? He let them get off strike far too often. That's the one criticism, I think, from Hartley, both in the first innings at Hyderabad and the first innings here, is that he gives you far too many singles to deep point. And I know Stokes was setting fields for cut shots and setting more sweepers out today, but that's the one part of the Hartley game that's going to have to improve to be a long-term presence in this England team. And now let's come to Rehan Ahmed, the third spinner here. Well, indeed, the fourth spinner, because Joe Root opened the bowling. That's Hall of Fame worthy. Come to that later. Wasn't as big a factor today, Root, as he was last week, I should say. But Rehan Ahmed bowled three times as well as he bowled last week. From the first over, I felt like he was pissed off. I felt like he's like, why is everyone else getting second and third spells? I'm not getting a trundle yet. And he had a point to prove. He might only be young and relatively inexperienced in this England team, but he's played enough. Well, he's played more than Hartley. He's played more than Bashir, and he was 30 in the pecking order. And I reckon he had a little bit of a point to prove there, and he bowled so much better today than he did last week.
He exudes such kind of confidence and arrogance, and I mean this all in the best way. It's why Stokes and McCullum love him. There was a great moment in the Test match last week where he got hit for two sixes by KL Rahul, And then he asked Stokes to bring the fielders in. And I was like, mate, you're going miles. Like, keep putting further back, if anywhere. But he, the strange thing was today is, as you said, he came in the 59th over, 59th or 54. I can't read my own writing. But then of the remaining 30...
I reckon it was the 60th. He came on after 59. I reckon he bowled over number 60.
So, and what makes that doubly interesting is, having not bowled all day, he then bowled 16 of the remaining 34. So he basically didn't come off. It was a day of long spells for England. Shoaib Bashir bowled 28 overs today. Remarkable. And it was kind of... Stokes... I guess it's a byproduct. If Stokes says, I'm going to back you all the way, if you have a bad over, I'm going to keep you on. If that's the message, at times, it means that people have to not get an opportunity, because if someone is getting the long ball, it means someone else isn't. But as you said, it was odd. You were looking around going like, when's the leg spinner going to have a ball? It's flat. Like, we need wrist spin. We need variety. We need X and Y. And he did manage to get the breakthrough with Pattadhar. To go back to Shoaib Bashir very briefly, in terms of the skill set, he has a very like meandering run-up. He comes in, he darts in front of the umpire, and he shoots off in the opposite direction. He's almost bowled, like, his front foot is almost kind of Mark Watt style. There we go, there's one for the real cricket tragics. Kind of sticking right off over. That's a test for the people out there. He started fantastically well, and after eight overs, his figures were 1 for 19. And then he had two overs, which kind of really reminded me just how difficult... like test cricket and how difficult playing at this level is. If you bowl eight overs and 1 for 19, for 99.9% of cricketers in the world, you're two overs away from having a spell, being finished for the day and patting yourself on the back saying a job well done. He then missed twice in his following over, 4-4, bowled one full toss, 6. All of a sudden he's gone for 20 runs off his next two overs. And I was like, by me, like, you've got to be good all the time. Like, you have to be good for like days on end, and the level required of someone to come into this environment and maintain that. And I think that's where we saw potentially why Stokes was having more fielders out, and also a result of 28 overs, no maidens. That level is just kind of borderline impossible to keep hold of. But yeah, all in all, England will be happy if they've got the leg breaks of Ahmed, who can give a bit of variety and get the tail out. If they've got the bounce of Shoaib Bashir, they've got the new ball. They're probably going to be pretty content at the moment coming into tomorrow.
Can I give you... I know there's been a lot of Jimmy stats over the last 36 hours, and we were guilty of that yesterday. We went on a bit of a Jimmy stats splurge in the previous show. Yeah. I'm going to give you one more. And this is from Nathan Lehman, who's been the analyst for the England team for a million years. Andrew Strauss played 100 test matches. He retired 12 years ago. He made his debut after Anderson. Again, it's another reminder of just how ridiculous his career is. The wicket of Gill we referred to before, it's the economy rate with him though in Asia. It was that way in Sri Lanka in 2021, India as well, when he played a really important role in Pakistan in late 2022, when everything had changed for England by that point, but Anderson remained the front man, if you like, in the attack. 1 for 30 from 17. When he had, when I woke up, I missed the first session today.
Unforgivable.
I missed my guilty concession. I did catch up and watch most of it on the wind back function on the telly. But I saw his figures as 1 for 23 from 10, and my instinct was, well, he's been a bit expensive, Jim, by his standards. Ridiculous to think that. But from there, he drags it back yet further. An economy rate of 1.8, which was just what they needed him for. The fact that he got through 17 overs, we said in the preview that Mark Wood bowled about 15 overs for the whole test match, isn't there to do that role. But Anderson, as Stokes said in his pre-game himself yesterday, gives him as captain more options and does hold up an end and can play the role of another spinner, even if he is bowling at 130 clicks or whatever he bowls at these days, and still gets the ball moving around. And in all probability, from what we've seen so far on this surface, it will take the reverse swing at some stage through the course of the 5 days. So Anderson back in the side and immediately giving something, and what an inspiration he's been for so long for so many people who love fast bowling.
Yeah, he's a sim game bowler out here. It's just like, you give him the ball, you advance the game by about 15 overs, the scoreboard hasn't moved, and maybe you've taken a wicket. Brilliant. And even when you said he was 10 overs, 1 for 23, it's because Shubman Gill kept nicking off. Like, Gill nicked him through the slips twice for 4.
Yeah.
And that was where the runs came from. That's literally a third of those runs that he had conceded. It's lucky he's in the best shape of his life, or looks it, because I think he bowled 18 overs today. Like, his workload is quite high. There was an argument whether... It's interesting, because Anderson bowls well, he creates an argument for a second seamer. Like, if he bowled worse... there would be less need for a second seam. But I think it's just, I think it more speaks to his quality that England, maybe people at home think maybe we've got the balance of the side wrong. I think you've just got an exceptional skill set in Jimmy Anderson operating at the highest level and kind of holding down an end and nicking off their number three. A useful combination.
Yeah. And the balance would be all sold if Stokes could bowl, right? So it's not a not a personnel thing. It's the fact that Stokes' knee doesn't exist anymore. Cam, I think it's time that we move along to the final word, Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
The Final Word Hall of Fame is brought to you by Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. I've decided not to read the copy before we record now. I spoiled the surprise 2 days ago. So here we go. Valentine's Day is the subheading. In 1950, the West Indies came to England and beat them for the first time away from home, thanks to those little pals of mine, Sonny Ramadan and Al Valentine. Okay. And now, every February 14, we celebrate that historic series by exchanging flowers and chocolates with our loved ones, or totally ignoring. That's entirely your prerogative. But if you are romantically inclined, get yourself down to Westfield London or Westfield Stratford City and express your love materialistically, which was the style at the time. Whether you're after flowers, chocolates, cards, jewellery, perfume, or some after-hours accessories, you can find something for that special person in your life. Valentine's Day changed for me a while ago when my firstborn, Winnie, was came out on the morning of Valentine's Day.
No.
It's a nice way of describing it. She came out. She was born on Valentine's Day 2020, just before the pandemic. Well, actually, into the pandemic. Now we know a lot more than we did then. And the year before that, on Valentine's Day in 2019, we moved into our home. So nice. It's a wider thing for us. You're going to be in India, so you can't. What are you going to do? Because you've got a little back and forth going at the moment. How are you going to manage that, the long distance back and forth?
Look, this is not for public consumption. We can continue this conversation on WhatsApp. We're gonna fire off some messages, get blue ticks, recuperate, go again, bring our morale back up. That's the strategy right now.
Okay. Well, it sounds like Valentine's Day is the place to go. Maybe you can jump online there or something. Google Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary, and we'll hear more from them tomorrow. Cam, there's a bit to choose from here today. A bit to pick from, I should say, on the our final word moment of the day. You go first.
First one from me, courtesy of Jared Kimber on the TalkSport coverage. Jimmy Anderson's bouncer today was 100, to Shreya's eye, was 126 kilometres per hour. Joe Root's was 123.
Yep.
So good stuff. Enjoyed that. my actual favourite moment of the day was Sherb Bashir's catch at the end of the day to get KS Barat. He's misjudged it and he's gone fingers pointing up, but the ball's kind got topspin on it. And he's got lower and lower and lower, and he's caught a reverse cup about 6 inches from the ground. And the cameras just picked up. And also, I did see it live, I think. Johnny Bairstow and Ollie Pope just absolutely ripping the piss about him just like misjudging it. And it just, again, it made me laugh, and it made me think how comfortable the group must be with one another and how comfortable, well ingrained Bashir must be in the group. Because you wouldn't take the piss out of him in that situation if he wasn't kind of well-liked and they were happy for him to succeed. It would have been a terrible drop, and then it would have been in the Hall of Fame for different reasons, but I enjoyed just a bit of a teammate back and forth saying that was really shit, mate. There we go.
It was Ponting. I would say it's Ponting-esque. Always took the ball about 6 inches from the ground with his fingers up. The Australian way when we were growing up.
That's because he did that on purpose. Bashir went, that's hitting me in the chest, and caught it by his shins.
Yeah. Yeah, more Joe Root here. So, first of all, 93 overs in the day were achieved, which is so rare that you get beyond the minimum, and especially with England, who don't care at all for their overrates and the World Test Championship points that have been docked over the course of the last 12 months. But yeah, 93 in, more spinners, I say. They opened with Joe Root. Imagine saying to either of us, in 2021, the opening bowlers for the second test of the 2024 series will be James Anderson and Joe Root. You'd be carted off to an asylum saying that. I mean, Anderson's longevity, as brilliant as it is, no one had him playing until 2024 when he last played in India. And as for Root, I suppose that's a little bit not wanting to throw Bashir in the way they did Hartley last week, I think, would be the psychology there. Give Root the chance first up and see how he goes. And also, Root's got that lovely swinging arm ball. Yep. And if he gets it right early on, that might do more with the new one. But it didn't quite work today, but he'll go again tomorrow.
With Root, it's, I think, simply a case of bowling to the lefty and Jaiswal. And something that should not be forgotten, but will be forgotten, because I also forgot about it just until this moment. Like, second over of the day, Jaiswal plays this big booming cover drive off Joe Root, and it goes like five yards to the right of Rehan Ahmed at cover, like chest height. Like, it would have joined Aksar and KS Bharat. There'd have been a fucking queue getting ready to...
Sure.
Whatever. That's a morbid. Anyway, so yeah, Jaiswal, one mistake in the day, first over. And yeah, then he got 179 other good runs.
One from the coverage. They spent about 5 minutes talking about the Gloucestershire side of the late 90s and early 2000s, and I couldn't get enough
as
of it. They kept going back to Ian Harvey's slow ball. Just the best. I mean, Ian Harvey, as someone wrote at the time, Ian Harvey's back of the hand slower ball could achieve peace in the Middle East. It's so majestic and beautiful through the air. It's still true now. It's as true now as it was in maybe 2000 when that line was written in The Age, I think, from memory. So pleased to hear that Ian Harvey's still getting mentioned in dispatches for a brilliant bit of skill of his. And the Joe Root over that included a dot, a one, a two, a three, a four, and a six. A rarity for scorers, I think. Benedict from Sky picked up that on Twitter, as you'd expect from him.
Yeah, Rehan Ahmed, I'm afraid.
You don't often see the full compliment. Rehan Ahmed was bowling, wasn't he? Yeah, so I think that's it in terms of the Hall of Fame. Sorry to throw you under the bus on the Valentine's Day thing before, Cam, for Westfield, London, Westfield, Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. I didn't mean to. I thought we spoke about this on the show when you were in the West Indies.
We have spoken about it before. It's just, Yeah, well, I'll keep you on.
Let's pick this up another time.
Oh, no,
I might have missed a link or two in the chain. What I know for sure, what I'm certain of, is the score as we start day two will be 336 for six. I'll relieve you of your duties here, Cam.
Perfect.
This has been the Final Word Daily. We'll be back with Cam Ponsonby and Vizag and me and Margate tomorrow. Thank you for your company, and we'll talk then. Ta-da.
Can't wait. Maybe she'll have messaged by then. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it.